preach the things that you would have me to preach, Lord. Help me to say the things you would have me to say. Help this to be a productive time, Lord, where we would learn from your word, where we would be challenged from your word, where you would help us to be able to be ministered to by your word. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, like we announced, we're continuing through our series, a short series, 5-week series, on the subject of spiritual warfare. Last week, like we talked about, the introduction, gave an introduction to the concept of spiritual warfare, the fact that there is a spirit world out there, and we are engaged in battle, whether we know it or not, and many of us need to just spiritually wake up and realize that we are in a battle. This week, we're looking at the subject of angels, and I want to give you a couple disclaimers in regards to the subject of angels, okay? Number one, there is no possible way I could cover everything the Bible has to say about angels in one sermon. All right, there's just too much Bible in regards to. I spent the entire week just going. I read every verse in the Bible that had the word angel in it. I read other verses that alluded to angels but didn't have the word angel in it. And I'm telling you, the Bible says a lot about angels. And we're going to look at a lot of Bible this morning, but there's no possible way I could cover everything, okay? But I'm going to try to give you the highlights this morning. The second thing I want to explain to you is that when we're studying angels, you just... We need to get a biblical view of what angels are, okay? And what the Bible says about it. And you got to understand this, okay? Out of all, like I said, we're going to be preaching through spiritual warfare 5 weeks. Out of all 5 sermons, this sermon on angels is probably going to be the most teachy, if I could use that word. It's going to be very much like a Bible study this morning, okay? We're going to look at a lot of scripture, and that's okay. We need to study the Bible. The Bible is good, but it's not. We'll try to get in some preaching throughout, but there's just so much to look at this morning. But when we get into demons and Satan and spiritual weapons, that'll feel more like we're preaching through those things. But this morning is going to be very much like a Bible study, so I want you to get ready to go through verses. We're going to look at a few things. And number one, I want to give you 4 points in regards to angels this morning, and we're going to learn what the Bible has to say about angels. The number one thing, the first thing I want you to realize is what I call the comparison of angels. The comparison of angels. And I want to begin the service or begin the sermon by comparing the angels to other things or people in the Bible, because we need to get a good idea about angels. So under that point, how do angels compare to human beings? How do they compare to you and I? You got to understand this, okay? Now, some people teach this, but human beings are not angels. Angels are not human beings. Humans will not turn into angels. Angels did not turn into humans, okay? They are two different things. Now, you got to understand this, okay? The word angel in the Bible simply means messenger. Okay? The word angel comes from the Greek word angelos. Is that impressive to you? I gave you a Greek word. It comes from the Greek word angelos, which in our King James Bible, God, which preserved our King James Bible and the wisdom of the translators, allowed the translators sometimes to translate the word angelos into angel when referring to a spiritual being. But sometimes that same word angel is simply translated into the word messenger when talking about a human being. You say, well, is that a problem in the Bible? No, it's not a problem. That's what the word means. The word means messenger. And so what I'm trying to explain to you is that sometimes the word angelos is used to talk about a human being. That doesn't mean that person was an angel. It just means there was a messenger. You don't have to go through these. You can write these down if you want to. It has nothing to do with sermon, but just to give you some examples. Do you remember the story of Job? Remember when Job found out about all those things that were happening to him? His kids died. He lost his finances. Remember how messengers kept coming to him one after the other? A different messenger kept coming and gave him bad news. In the Greek, that the word for messenger there is angelos. Okay? Now, those weren't spiritual angels. They were human beings. But you got to understand, from time to time, human beings are given that word because the word simply means messenger. The prophets, Isaiah and Malachi, were both called angelos. The priest in Malachi was called angelos. So you got to understand that sometimes the word angel is in reference to a human being. For example, if you study the book of Revelation, remember when you get into chapters 2 and 3, you got the 7 churches of the church of Ephesus. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? Now, those are human beings. He's referring to the pastors. You say, why does he call them angels? Because the pastor's a messenger. And we know through the context of those, and I won't take time to show you that, but we know through the context of those chapters that he's talking to a human being. But, with that said, sometimes the word angelos is translated messenger, and it's talking about a human being. There are angels in the way that you would consider, or angel beings, and you got to understand this. We saw this, I believe we saw it last week out of Psalms, but let me show it to you out of Hebrews. You're there in Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse number 7. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And of the angels he saith." Now this is God speaking. He says, "And of the angels he saith." Now notice what he says. "Who maketh his angels spirits." Do you see that? So angels are spirits. They are not human flesh like you and I. They are not flesh and bones and blood like you and I. They are spirits. The Bible is very clear there. It says, "And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and ministers a flame of fire." Skip down to verse number 13, same chapter. Hebrews chapter number 1. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool?" Look at verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Do you see that? So the Bible tells us when we're talking about the angelic being that you and I would think about, the angel that lives in heaven with God or that is in heaven, the Bible calls them spirits. Now you got to understand this, okay? Humans are not... If you're saved, you have a spirit, and you have your spiritual man, and you have the Holy Spirit, but we're also flesh and blood. And guess what? One day we're going to get an incorruptible body. We'll always have a body. But angels are a spirit. And let me show you something else, because we're comparing angels to human beings. Now keep your finger there in Hebrews chapter 1, because we're coming right back to it, okay? Keep your finger in Hebrews, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And let me show you something about angels. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 in comparison to human beings. You say, well, some people say this, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to turn into angels. Well, let me show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians right after the book of Romans in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. If you look at verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" Now let me just stop right there. I'm not preaching about that, but did you know that the Bible says you're not to take your brother to court? You know that you're not supposed to sue another fellow Christian? You should be able to resolve those things within the church. About maybe 6 months ago or so, I heard of a church in the area. They had a certain name, and they got sued from another church, you know, in another state, because they had the same name. And they went to court, they lost the lawsuit, and they had to change their name. And I think to myself, do these people read the Bible? The Bible says you're not supposed to having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust. He said, don't go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints. Look at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 6, 2. "Do ye not know that the saints..." Now who are the saints? Okay, the Bible, I don't have time to develop that. We're looking at angels this morning. But if you study, every time the Bible uses the word saints, it is always believers. It is always Christians. It is not Christians that died and they became a saint. The Bible says if you are in Christ, you are a saint. And the Bible says, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Hey, did you know that one day when Jesus Christ comes back, when Armageddon's done, when all that's said and done, the Bible says that the saints are going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ and we're going to judge this world? Did you know that? Well, if we're going to judge the world one day, why are you going to an unrighteous judge to get your lost dispute settled? That's what he's saying. That's the context. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter?" You see what he's saying? He's saying, look, if you're going to judge the world one day, why can't you judge things amongst yourself right now? Why are you taking your brother to court right now? Look at verse 3. "Know ye not, we shall judge" what? Angels. Do you see that? Well, no, we turn into angels. How are we going to turn into angels when the Bible says the saints are going to judge the angels? Hey, one day, you'll get rewarded based on your works. And now, I didn't say you'll get to heaven based on your works. No one gets to heaven based on their works. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
But you will get rewarded for your labor, and depending on how much you did for Christ, God says, I'm going to put different people under you. I'm even going to put angels under you. Some of you may be able to have some angels employed under you. That'd be good. That's what the Bible said. Verse 3. Know ye not? We shall judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? He says, look, if you're going to judge angels, why can't you judge things in this life? By the way, the neo-evangelical movement of today takes a couple of verses in Matthew out of context and tries to throw it in your face where it says, judge not, that ye be not judged. Now, if you read that verse, if you read that passage, the Bible says, judge not hypocritically. It says, do not be a hypocrite when judging. But here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is telling us to judge. He says, hey, you're going to judge one day. Why can't you judge between the brethren and settle disputes between the brethren? Because you're going to judge other of the world and you're going to judge angels. So you got to understand this. One day in eternity, in the millennium, you and I as saints will be judging angels. So angels and humans are not the same thing. Okay? Go back to Hebrews chapter number 1. We're talking about how angels compare to other things. We saw how they compare to humans. Angels are not humans, they're spirits. But let me show you how they compare to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some that teach, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, that Jesus Christ is not really the Son of God. He is Michael the Archangel. Have you ever heard that before? The Seventh-day Adventists teach the same thing. There are those who teach that Jesus is an angel. Now, we got to always come back to the Word of God. And what does the Bible say? Are you there in Hebrews chapter number 1? We read it, but let's go through it again and see if we can learn some things from this. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, I want you to understand the context, okay? He's telling us God spake to you and I at sundry times and in diverse manners in time past. So he said, a lot, you know, before God spake by the prophets. Do you see that? So the prophet would show up in the town and he would say, thus saith the Lord God, and God would speak through the prophet. Verse 2. Hath in these last days, so he says, he used to speak by the prophets, but in the last days he's spoken unto us by his what?
Son.
Who's that? Jesus Christ. But hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Okay, so I want you to, let's go through it slowly so you get the context. He said, God used to speak through the prophets, now he speaks through his Son, and he appointed, look at the last part of verse 2, he hath appointed his Son heir of all things, by whom, talking about his Son, also he made the world. So who made the worlds? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. An angel is a created being. Jesus is a creator. Therefore, He's not an angel. But look, it makes more sense. Keep reading. Look at verse 3. Who being, now who's the subject? Who are we talking about? The Son, right? Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Do you see that? Jesus was the express image of whose person? God. Jesus was a person, yet He was the person of God. We know that there are three persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 John, we have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It says these three are one, the Trinity. And it says there, keep reading, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Who is that? That's the Son, right? When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, don't forget that. We're going to come back to that, okay? So remember that. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose from the grave, he paid or he purged our sins, and what did he do after he purged our sins? He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He went back to heaven and he sat down on the right hand of God the Father. God the Son is right now sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Look at verse 4. Who's the context? The Son, right? Being made so much better than the what? So is Jesus an angel? No, he's better than an angel. Who being made so much better than the angels, as he, talking about Jesus, hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It says he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent name than they, the angels. Why? Because he's better than the angels. Look at verse 5. Now notice this. This is God speaking. He says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Did you catch that? God says, listen to me, this is a question I want to ask the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus is not God. You shouldn't worship Jesus. Jesus is Michael the Archangel. My question is this, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee? God says, I've never told an angel, you're my son. I never told an angel, I begot you. You know that there's only one begotten Son of God? You know who that is? Jesus Christ. John 3:16, most basic verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And God says, I've never called an angel my son. I've never called an angel my begotten son. Look at verse 5. Look at it. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you, begotten me. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He said, to which of the angels did I ever say, hey, I'm your father, and you're my son? He said, I've never told an angel that. Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, the first begotten, do you see that? That's the only begotten son. He said, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. He said, when Jesus was, you know, God said, when Jesus was born, when the first begotten was brought into the world, he said, I looked at the angels, and I said, hey, angels, you worship him. Why? Because he's not an angel. He's God. You got to understand that. Look at verse 7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son... No. You say, well, I don't know. They, somebody came by my house and they told me that Jesus wasn't God. Now, look at verse 8, okay? Now, listen. Have we read verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? We've not only read it, we've read it twice. We read it before the service, and we've been reading it right now. So you don't tell me we're taking this out of context. Look at verse 8. But unto the Son, who's that? Jesus. Who's speaking? Remember, look at verse 1. God. Who's speaking? God. Look at verse 8. But unto the Son, He, God, saith... What did God say to the Son? Thy throne, O what? What did God just call His Son? You say, how could God call His Son God? Because God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Father looked at His Son and He said to His Son, Thy throne, O God. See, you understand this. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is not Michael the Archangel. Jesus is God. He's God in the faith. In the flesh, the Bible says. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. And thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. He's talking about his son. He said, you laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hand. He said, you made the heavens. God, the Son. They shall perish. Now notice this. He says, you made the heavens, you made the earth, they shall perish, but thou remainest. You see that? Isn't that good? Are you upset that they took your speaker? No, those things perish, but you know what remains? God. Amen. He said, they shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. That's the Son. Look at verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand? Now, do you remember I told you to remember the phrase in verse 3? Look at verse 3. Look at the last part of verse 3. When he had by himself purged our sins, that's Jesus, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, right? So Jesus purged our sins, sat down on the majesty on high. Look at verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand? So God is just, God knew that people were going to come preaching false doctrine. And this is his response. People say, Jesus is just an angel. You shouldn't worship Jesus. And God's response is, well, when Jesus purged your sins, He came and sat on the right hand of the Father. He said, unto which of the angels have I ever told to come sit on my right hand? He said, I've never told an angel that. He said, I've never told an angel, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Verse 13, but to which of the angels said at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? He said, look, an angel is just a ministering spirit sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And we'll come back to that. We're going to look at that. Now let me just real quickly get sidetracked just a little bit for some of you theologians. I try to preach as basic as possible, so that anybody could understand it, even a theologian, because I know it's easy for them to get confused. But some of you are thinking this, and you're thinking, you got to understand this, okay? Let's see, where do I want you to go? Go to Exodus chapter 3, just real quickly. Exodus in your Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. Now let me show you something, okay? Remember the word angel? What does the word angel mean? It means messenger, right? Okay, so sometimes that word angelos is used to reference a human being. Sometimes it's used to reference a spirit being, also known as an angel. But sometimes, because the word simply means messenger, okay, throughout the Bible, if you were to look at a concordance and look up every time the Bible uses this phrase, the angel of the Lord, you would find that the Bible uses that phrase multiple times. Okay? Now, what does that phrase mean? It means the messenger of the Lord. You need to understand this. Sometimes in the Old Testament, you find the angel of the Lord appear. Sometimes it's an angel. How do we know that? We know it's not God. You know why? Because like in the book of Judges, there was a time when the angel appeared. Remember Gideon? Remember when we were studying Gideon on Sunday nights? Remember the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon when he was threshing the wheat, hiding from the Midianites? Remember that Gideon offered to give him a sacrifice and the angel said, don't sacrifice that to me. You need to sacrifice that to God. Why did the angel say that? Because he wasn't God. But sometimes you find the angel of the Lord and it is God. You say, well, who is that? That's actually an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Say, well, Jesus Christ wasn't born until the New Testament. We just read it in Hebrews. Jesus is God. Jesus created the universe. Jesus, He's been around forever. He's been eternal forever. Let me give you an example. You're there in Exodus chapter number 3? Look at verse 1. We got to move quickly. Exodus chapter number 3, verse 1. Remember when the flaming bush appeared to Moses? Look at Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 1. Exodus 3:1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he held the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And look at verse 2. The angel of the Lord. You see that? And the angel of the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. So who appeared to him? The angel of the Lord. Right? And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So Moses looks at the bush is on fire, but it's not getting consumed. He thought, wow, that's amazing. Look at verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, now notice, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. You see that? Now hold on. Who appeared to him in the bush? The angel of the Lord. Who called him out of the bush? God did. You see that? God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And if we kept reading there, go to Judges chapter 2. Look at verse 1. If we kept reading there, you would realize that the angel of the Lord in that bush says to Moses, he says, remove thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Why? Because it was God. But sometimes, when Jesus appears, when Jesus does a cameo in the Old Testament, sometimes they call him the angel of the Lord. You say, well, that means he's an angel? No, he's just doing a message. Did the angel of the Lord, did the burning bush, bring a message to Moses? Yes, he did. But you got to understand this. Jesus is not a spirit being like an angel. And look, this is a prevalent doctrine that's taught in the cults. Do you know that the Mormons teach that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are brothers? How could they be brothers? Well, if they're both angels, they're brothers. If they're both not God, they're brothers. Okay, Jesus is not brothers with Satan. I know that would make an interesting film. But Jesus is God. You've got to understand that. He is God in the flesh. The Bible says He became God. He came down and He took on human flesh. He is not an angel. He is not the brother. Lucifer, we'll get into Lucifer in a couple weeks. Lucifer was an angel. He was created. All the angels have been created. Jesus was never created. He's always been. That's why, remember, we could keep going there in Exodus. Remember when Moses asked God, he said, "Who am I going to tell them sent me?" And he said, "I am that I am." Remember that? He said, "Tell them I am sent me." You know who else said that? Remember Jesus Christ, 7 times in the book of John. He said, "I am." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I am the vine." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to stone him because they said, "This guy blasphemeth. He's calling himself God." He wasn't calling himself God. He is God. So you got to understand that. So we talked about, are you there in Judges chapter 2? Look at verse 1. Let me show you another example of the angel of the Lord as God. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said," so who came up? An angel of the Lord. "And said," now notice what the angel of the Lord says, "I made you to go up out of Egypt." Who made the Israelites go up out of Egypt? God. But the angel of the Lord says, "No, I did it." Why? Because this angel of the Lord did do it. Because this angel of the Lord was God. It was Jesus Christ. "I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Who made a covenant with the Israelites? God did. So you got to understand this. The word angel is just, the word simply means this, messenger. The Bible calls pastors angels. Did you know I was an angel this morning? You should have known that. Angel just means messenger. Now sometimes it's a spirit being. What we commonly refer to as an angel. But anyone giving a message is performing in the capacity of an angel. Does that make sense? So we said number one, the comparison of angels. Number two, let's talk about the classification of angels. The classification of angels. There are different types of angels, okay? Angels are classified by rank. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. If you were just there in Hebrews, if you just go towards the left a few pages, you'll get into those T-books. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Angels are classified by different ranks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We got a lot of verses to get to, alright? So you gotta move quickly. And we're going to be here all night long. We're going to be here till the next people break in. You know what I mean? That might be good. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." Do you see that? You ever heard that phrase before? The archangel. "With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Alright? Go to Jude, chapter number 1. Jude is right before the book of Revelation. So the book of Revelation is the last book in the New Testament. Right before the book of Revelation, you got the book of Jude. It's one chapter. Jude, look at verse number 9. The Bible tells us that there are angels, but then there are also archangels. Jude 9. The Bible says this, "Yet Michael the archangel." So Michael was an archangel, but Michael is not Jesus, okay? "Michael the archangel," remember we saw this last week, "when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" So Michael is considered the archangel. Now go, just real quickly, go to Daniel. Remember, I told you this was going to be like a Bible study this morning, okay? Daniel, I hope you are interested in studying the Bible. Daniel, chapter number 10. Towards the end of the New Testament, you got what's known as the major prophets and the minor prophets. You got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those are all known as the major prophets. Daniel is right at the end of those big books. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Daniel chapter number 10. Look at verse number 13. Daniel chapter number 10, and look at verse number 13. Daniel 10:13. I want you to see this, okay? "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," sometimes the Bible uses the word prince in reference to an angel. Because remember, Ephesians 6, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Okay? So we're not wrestling flesh and blood, but there are principalities. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 20 days. We talked about this last week, so we're going to look at it again later on. But lo, now notice what it says, lo, Michael. Now we know from Jude 1:9, Michael is an archangel, right? Notice what he's called here. Michael, one of the chief princes. Do you see that? Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now, here's what I want to teach, okay? And you got to understand this. The Bible says in the book of Acts about the Bereans. Remember the church in Berea? The Bible says they were more honorable than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. You got to understand this. At Verity Baptist Church, we are biblicists. What that means is that the Bible is our authority.
Amen.
Now here's the thing. You say, well, every church says that. I know, but we actually mean it. Say, well, what do you mean? Have you noticed how many verses we've looked at this morning?
Yeah.
You know how we mean it? Everything we preach comes straight out of the Bible. We don't just go with man's traditions. Okay? Now here's what you gotta understand, right? I was taught my whole life, growing up. I was taught. There are three archangels. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. That is not in the Bible. Now here's the thing. It may be true, but it's not in the Bible. The Bible only ever calls one angel the archangel, and that's Michael. Now the Bible has many references to Gabriel, but it never calls him the archangel. Okay? So what I'm trying to tell you is this, because we're biblicists, we're not going to make stuff up because it sounds good, because it preaches well. Okay? I want you to understand this. Michael is the only archangel referenced in the Bible. But in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, read it again. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, now notice this, one of the chief princes. The Bible here seems to allude to the fact that there may be other chief princes. Are you with me? But the Bible never tells us it's Gabriel. The Bible never tells us it's Lucifer. And the Bible never mentions any other ones, okay? So I'm just giving you that for your knowledge, alright? So we talked about the comparison of angels. We're talking about the classification of angels. Angels are classified by ranks. You got the leaders. Those are the archangels. You have what I call the rank and file angels, or just the normal angels, okay? Keep your finger there in Daniel 10. We're going to come back to it, okay? Keep your finger in Daniel 10. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 7. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Revelation 12:7. Man, if we don't, you know, if you don't move quickly, we're not gonna get through this, okay? No hometown buffet. Yeah, exactly. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 7. Revelation 12:7. Revelation 12:7. Look what it says, okay? And we saw this last week, so let's just see it quickly. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and notice what it says. His angels. Do you see that? Now, we know Michael is the chief prince, right? We know Michael is the archangel, right? But Michael has angels under him. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. We talked about it last week. The dragon is Satan. And guess what? The dragon and the dragon fought and his angels. Those are the demons. We'll talk about that next week. But you got to understand this. Angels are classified by rank. You got the archangels. And then you got what I call the rank and file. The soldiers under, at least we know, Michael. Also, go to Ezekiel chapter number 10. If you have your finger in Daniel, keep your finger in Daniel 10. But if you got your finger in Daniel, you can go towards the left a little bit and you'll find that big book Ezekiel. Ezekiel is right before the book of Daniel. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 10. Angels are classified by ranks. Archangels, rank and file angels, what I call them. That's not in the Bible. Right, I just don't know what else to call them. Normal angels. Angels are also classified by the type of creature they are. Because remember, angels aren't human beings, right? By the way, and I don't have time to deal with this. There's a doctrine out there that teaches that in the book of Genesis, angels came down and married women and had these freakin' natures things. Okay? Again, that may make a nice novel. That may make an interesting movie. But the Bible never teaches that. In fact, the Bible teaches against that. God said, because the Bible doesn't call them angels in Genesis, it calls them the sons of God. But because of other things they have to cover for, they say, no, those are angels. But we saw in Hebrews, unto which of the, he's never called an angel his son, number one. Jesus said that angels are not given in marriage, okay? So if angels cannot get married, according to Jesus, then don't let some theologian tell you that angels came down and got married with women. I'd rather trust Jesus for my theology.
You understand what I'm saying?
But angels aren't human beings, okay? Ezekiel chapter number 10. They are also classified by creatures. There are two creatures that are mentioned in the Bible, and I'm calling them creatures, that's the name I'm giving them, because I don't know what else to call them. There are two things that are talked about in the Bible, okay? One of them is called a cherubim, or a cherub. The other one's called a seraphim, okay? Who's ever heard of a cherub? Now, most of you that have heard of a cherub or a cherubim are probably thinking, because you may, maybe you went to a Catholic school or it's Catholic something, or I don't know where you went, but you're thinking of a cherub as this little, naked, pudgy baby, right, with wings, okay? That's what most people, now here's the thing. You say, well, Pastor Jimenez, are you going to talk to us about little pudgy babies? Because that'll make all of us feel good. Okay, well, here's the problem. We're biblicists, right? So we have to let the Bible tell us what a cherub is, okay? Now let's see. The Bible describes for us a cherub in Ezekiel chapter 10. Now let's go through this and you tell me if it sounds to you like a little pudgy baby with wings. Ezekiel chapter number 10, look at verse 10. Okay, I don't have time to go through the whole chapter. You can read it on your own, write down the note, look at it later. But let's just jump in at verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 10. And as for their appearance, okay, so Ezekiel just got a glance into heaven. He saw these things, and he's going to describe them for us. He says, and as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. Now, we're going to read a lot about this wheel. I'll be honest with you, I have no clue what that is in reference to. I guess we'll find out in heaven. I don't know. Look at verse 11. When they went, okay, so he's talking about these four things. Remember, he said he saw, look at verse 10 again, for their appearance, they four had one likeness. So he said there was four of them, but they all looked alike, okay? He said, I saw four things, and they all looked alike. Verse 11, when they went upon their four sides. Okay, so they had four sides. He said, what is that talking about? They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. Now look at verse 12. And their whole body, okay, so he's going to begin to describe these things for us. Their whole bodies and their back and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about. Now, does that sound like a little chubby baby? I mean, this thing had eyes. Could you imagine looking at something and like your two eyes that you have just having eyes all over your body? Your back. I mean, I don't know, does not sound like something I want to cuddle up to. You know what I mean? That does not sound like something I want to, you know, hold. Look what it says, verse 12. And their whole body, their backs, their hands, their wings, their wheels were full of eyes round about. Even the wheels that they had four. Look at verse 13. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. And everyone, notice he's describing, everyone had four faces. These things have four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. Okay, that's what we're talking about, right? You say, what does a cherub look like? I don't know. And the second face was the face of a man. This thing had four faces. One face looked like a man. One face looked like a cherub. And the third face, the face of a lion. And the fourth face, the face of an eagle. Does this sound like a little chubby baby? I mean, if you have a baby that looks like this, you got problems. You know what I mean? You might want to get that checked out. This thing had four faces, the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of a cherub. I don't know what a cherub looks like. If I had to guess, I'd probably think it looked like a calf. We were talking about this on Wednesday night. There's an additional four beasts in heaven. And one has the face of a man, the other one has the face of a lion, face of an eagle, and the face of a calf. So this thing has four faces, has eyes all over it. We know it's a cherub. Look at verse, did we read verse 14? Look at verse 15. And the cherubims, okay, that's what we're talking about, right? Cherubims. Well, I thought every time I go into a Christian bookstore, they got these little cards with these little cherubims. They got these babies, they're naked, and they got this little thing so you can't see their privates. No, that's not a cherub at all. See, it's funny how the Bible, you start reading the Bible, it just mess you up. It'll mess up all the things. Why aren't these people, they were doing a Bible study with me at home. They told me Jesus was Michael the Archangel. Well, guess what? The Bible doesn't say that. We do well to start studying the Bible. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Chebar. So he says, look, I saw a creature. And here's what it looked like. It had eyes all over its body. It had four sides to it. It had wheels. I don't even know what that's talking about. It had four faces. The face was like an eagle, like a man, like a lion, like a cherub. He said, this thing. Okay, go to Isaiah. You're learning Ezekiel? Turn a few pages over. Pass the book of Jeremiah, going towards the left. Go, and then you'll get to the book, Ezekiel. Pass the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah, and then Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Look at verse 2. Isaiah 6, verse 2. Remember I told you there was two creatures. We're talking about how we classify angels. We classify them by rank. We have Michael the archangel, and we have all the angels underneath him. We classify them by creatures. We have the cherubims. We got a description. Let me give you a description of the seraphims. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. The Bible says, above it stood. It is Isaiah. He's now describing for us what he saw. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. You say, I thought angels had wings. Well, as far as I can tell, and I may have missed one. In fact, there's another one, but I'm not going to show you that one. You study that one. But there's, as far as I can tell, the only angels that were really described with wings are these seraphims. Okay? And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Notice, they had six wings. With twain, that means two. He covered his face. Maybe because he has four faces. I don't know. And with twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, he did fly. Okay, so you got these seraphims, they got six wings. Well, I always saw pictures of angels with two wings. Well, again, I'm sorry, but the Bible says they have six wings. And two wings they use to cover their face, two wings they use to cover their feet, and two wings they use to fly. Alright, so we talked, number one, the comparison of angels. We talked, number two, the classification of angels. Number three, let's talk about the charge of angels. The charge of angels. I'm not going to... Go to Psalm 91. Okay, Psalm 91. I'm not going to have you turn to Revelation 12:7 because we already read it and we looked at it last week as well. But I'm going to read it to you again, okay? I want you to see the charge of the angels. You say, what do you mean by the word charge? The word charge means their task or their job. What do they do? What is their duty? What are they charged with, okay? What is the purpose of angels? Now, again, I can't give you everything in the Bible. I'm going to give you some of the highlights. Number one. The angels are charged, or they are tasked, or they are given the job of engaging in spiritual warfare and battle. Remember Revelation 12:7? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So they engage in warfare. Spiritual warfare. Letter B. They guard. Angels guard. You ever heard of a guardian angel? That's actually a biblical concept. Let me show it to you. Number one, they guarded the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there in Psalm 91? Look at verse 11. Psalm 91. Look at verse 11. Now this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And I'll show it to you in a second. Psalm 91, verse number 11. Psalm 91 and verse number 11. The Bible says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy way. See? He says he's going to give them a charge. What's their charge? To keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now that's a prophecy of Jesus. Let me show you that prophecy fulfilled. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. I told you we're going to look at a lot of Bible, and hopefully we don't go any longer than we need to, but if we do, it's because you're taking so long to get to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Okay, let's move quickly because I got a lot I want to show you. I don't want to skip any of it. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 5. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Remember when Satan, the devil, came and tempted the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember that? Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and set them upon a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him. So, the devil takes Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, verse 6, notice what he says. If thou be the Son of God, there's no if about it, Satan. He is the Son of God. Amen. But notice, Satan, and we're going to get into this a couple weeks more. Satan's job is always to question the Word of God. Amen. Remember, that's what he did in the Garden of Eden. Remember, God said to Adam and Eve, he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the serpent comes along and says, hath God said, did God really say that? Here you see the devil, verse 6, and he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give thy angels charge concerning thee. And their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against thy stone. Now, did you notice that was a quote out of the book of Psalms? Did you notice that the devil just quoted the book of Psalms? Do you understand that the devil knows the Bible?
Yeah.
Sometimes the devil knows the Bible better than you and I know the Bible.
Yep.
Say, well, these people, they came up and they taught me that Jesus wasn't God. And they used a lot of Bible. Yeah, the devil uses the Bible.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
That's why you need to know the Bible. That's why you need to study the Bible. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Read the Bible. So, the devil comes to Jesus. Now, here's the thing. He takes a promise that is true. The angels were given a charge. You know what the charge was? The angels were told, make sure you take care of Jesus. If he happens to fall off a cliff, you're going to go and catch him because he cannot die until it is the right time for him to die. Remember? He said, I can't die until the hour of my... He said, there's a specific hour that I need to die. But here you find the devil tempting Jesus. He said, well, if you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself off. He said, the angels are going to come get you. Now notice this. The devil knows the Bible. But how does Jesus combat the devil in this spiritual warfare? Look at verse 7. Jesus said unto him, is it not written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God? So here's the thing. The devil uses the Bible to tempt Jesus. Jesus uses the Bible to fight back against the devil. You see that? He says, well, since we're quoting the Bible, Satan, the Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So what happens? Again, the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain. And of course, they go through a few temptations there. And of course, Jesus comes out the victor. But here's what you got to understand, okay? The angels were given the task or the job of guarding Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that nothing bad is going to happen to him? No. A lot of bad things happened to Jesus. The crucifixion. Jesus was homeless. Did you know that? Jesus was actually homeless. Didn't have a home. He said, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Okay? Go to Matthew. Are you there in Matthew chapter 4? Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. The angels are given the job of guarding Jesus. But notice Matthew 18. Look at verse 10. Matthew 18 verse 10. The Bible says Matthew 18 verse 10. Matthew chapter number 18 and verse 10. Take heed. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Talking about a child. For I say unto you, that in heaven, there. Do you see that word there? T-H-E-I-R. That means it belongs to them. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says that little children have angels. And they're constantly before God. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 52. Matthew 26, verse 52. Matthew 26, 52. This kind of goes with the fact that they engage in battle, but also the fact that they protected Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 52. Matthew 26, verse 52. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. Remember, they were getting ready to arrest Jesus, to take him to the cross. Peter takes out his sword and tries to defend Jesus. Jesus says, put again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I can now that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus said, Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing with that little sword? You don't think I can pray to God right now and God will send down 12 legions of angels to take these guys? He said, look, Peter, I came to this earth to die. But you got to understand this. They would have came. I'm sure those angels, because these are soldiers. I'm sure they were up there just ready. I mean, Jesus just needed to give them the wings. You know what? It came down. You know what I mean? And these guys, these angels, are guards. They are engaged in battle. They are watching in heaven for the little children that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Letter C. What we're talking about, the charge of angels. What do? They engage in battle. What do? They guard. What do? They deliver messages. They deliver messages. Are you there in Matthew? Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Do you even notice that I try to help you with these references? Do you notice how we're looking at all the Matthew references at the same time? I'm trying to help you out. Matthew chapter number 1, look at verse 20. You say, Pastor Jimenez, how do I know when I've been growing spiritually? Here's how you can gauge it, okay? When you first start coming to this church, you're like, I can't keep up. I can't. He goes too fast. after you've been coming here for a while, you're like, no problem. Bring it on, Pastor. Give me another one. I got 10 fingers. I'll keep my place in all, you know what I mean? I'm just telling you, that should encourage you. You start coming here and you're like, yeah, it seems like he's not going as fast. I'm going just as fast. You're just getting better. Okay? Matthew chapter number 1, look at verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew 1, 20. Okay? They deliver messages. Why? Because they're angels. That's what they do, right? Angel means messenger. Now, here's interesting. They're spiritual beings. So guess what they do? Sometimes they deliver the message via a dream. Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, this is a story of Mary and Joseph, remember? Remember, Mary is found with child. Joseph is a little concerned, as I think we would all be. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So the angel brings Joseph a message, but he brings it in a dream. Okay? Sometimes they bring messages in a dream. Go to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Look at verse 1. Sometimes they bring the message in a dream. Sometimes they bring the message physically. Acts chapter number 10. Look at verse 1. Acts chapter number 10. Look at verse 1. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, he sees a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius, and then the angel gives him a message there. So, I want you to see, sometimes the angels in the Bible would bring a message through a dream, sometimes they bring a message physically. Do they bring messages today? No, they do not. You say, why? You already got the messages right here. Remember? Hebrews 1, remember? God used to speak through the prophets. Let me tell you. You walk into some church and there's some person up there and they're like, I'm a prophet and God said this. God told me to tell you that you need to, you know, put more money in the offering plate. They're lying to you. They're not a prophet. There's the office of a prophet. There's no one speaking for God anymore. In fact, the Bible, if you read the last book of the Bible, it says, don't add to these words. If someone says to me, I'm speaking on behalf of God, then they need to write those words down and put them in the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God. So, you know, there is no one, God does not speak. God speaks through His Son. Did we read that? What's His Son? Study Jesus Christ in the Bible. You know what He's always referred to? As the Word. Why? Because the Word of God is the Son of God. Now listen to me. I didn't say that this Bible is God. I didn't say that this leather is God. I didn't say that these pages are God. But you know what the Bible does teach? These words are life. These words are alive. The Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
You say, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either, but I believe it. Because it's in the Bible. You say, God spoke to me through a dream. No, He didn't. He only speaks to you one way, through His Word. I always love it when people come up to me. God appeared to me, you know, they're coming off drugs. That's the part they don't tell you. He appeared to me and I saw this vision. No, you didn't. You need to just start reading the Bible. You need to just start, because the Word of God is complete. There's no more adding to it. The Bible says don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just read it. Just follow it. So sometimes they appear physically. Why did they appear these times? Because they didn't have the Word of God complete at this time. Letter D. Go back to Luke. You're there in Acts. You're close to it. Luke chapter 16. What else do they do? We're talking about the charge of the angels. What do? They also transport. They transport. Who do they transport? They transport us. Look at Luke 16. Look at verse 22. Luke 16, verse 22. You know why these preachers want to get up and tell you that they heard a message from God? Because it's easier for them to make stuff up than for them to actually study the Bible and just teach you what the Bible says. You understand that? How much time do you think I spent studying for this sermon this morning? I mean, we've looked at like 100 verses already. It took me a long time. Now, I could have got up here and said, God appeared to me. But you know what you'd probably get is, I saw an angel, and he was chubby. He looked like a baby. That's how you get all this false doctrine. You just read the Bible. It fixes those things. Luke chapter 16. Look at verse 22. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was, look what it says, carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And we know that's paradise, and we know that's heaven. And if you don't believe that, don't talk to me after the service. Talk to someone else. I'm tired of it. The rich man also died and was buried. I've listened to enough dispensational garbage this week. I don't need to talk to anybody else about it. Matthew 24, look at verse 31. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. You're lucky you don't know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. Just get back to the Bible. Amen. You start listening to preachers. We were listening to a preacher just this week. I listened to some of the guys here listen to it. The guy's talking about there are three different gospels. There's three different this. There's three. Look, the Bible is not confusing. God did not write a Bible to confuse you.
Amen.
If he were like, well, I got this is going to be real complicated now. And when someone says, hey, I'm going to teach you something, but it's real complicated, a red flag should come up. The Bible's not complicated. It should be fairly. You should. You notice what we do at Brady Baptist? We read a verse, and then we're like, see what the Bible says.
Amen.
I mean, pretty much all we do around here is we read a verse. I yell a little bit. We read a verse. I yell a little bit. Why? Because that's all you need. Well, no, you don't understand, Pastor. You can't understand the Bible. You need this book, and you need this guy, and you need this. No, you need the Bible. You need Jesus Christ. You need the Holy Ghost. That's all you need.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. A Holy Ghost will teach you. They transport. Go to Matthew 24, look at verse 31. Matthew 24, verse 31. They transport us. They carried the angel. I mean, they carried, good night. They carried the beggar. The angels carried him up to paradise, all right? Matthew 24, 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. This is the rapture. There's only one. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. God says when he raptures us out, he's going to send his angels. They're going to sweep in here. They're going to grab us up. And that's good. They transport. Some get transported to heaven. Go to Mark 13. Look at verse 49. Mark 13. Look at verse 49. Mark 13, 49. They get transported to heaven. That's not. Good night. Where am I? Yeah, that's what I wanted. Yeah. I'm sorry. Matthew. I apologize. Matthew 13, verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. What are we talking about? The end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. That's talking about hell. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So the angels transport people to heaven. The angels will send people to, will be the ones that deliver people to hell. They transport. Because we're talking about what do? Right? Letter E. They minister to us. I'm just going to read this verse to you because we were already there. You write it down if you want to look at it. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? The word minister means to serve. Ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. Who are heirs of salvation? That's you and I.
Yes.
Bible says they're ministering spirits sent to minister to you and I. Hey, that's good. I like that. So let's review. We talked about the comparison of angels. We talked about the classification of angels. We talked about the charge of angels. Good night. Can we look at one more point?
Amen.
Okay. There's like, 16 sub-points. Let's just look at this real quick. Okay, it won't be long. Number four. Let's look at the characteristics of angels. The characteristics of angels. The attributes of angels. What do they do that's kind of special? What do they do that's kind of different? Go to Psalm 103. Okay? Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Look at verse number 20. Psalm 103. Look at verse number 20. Psalm 103 and verse 20. I want you to see the characteristics of angels. Okay? Letter A. They are supernaturally strong. An angel is stronger than a human being. An angel is stronger than the strongest human being. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. The Bible says, bless the Lord, ye his angels. I want you to see this. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. Do you see that? So they are supernaturally strong. That do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And throughout the Bible, I could have showed you so many passages. I don't have time to. I'm just going to show you a few highlights. But throughout the Bible, you see angels doing miracles. You see angels doing some pretty interesting things. Okay? Go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Look at verse number 6. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. We're almost done, I promise. We just gotta get through some of this. Revelation chapter 14, look at verse 6. Revelation 14, verse 6, the Bible says this. So they're supernaturally strong. I want to show you this. Angels can fly. Angels can fly. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people." So you see there an angel that is flying in the midst of heaven. So they can fly. Letter C. They have supernatural powers. Go to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. Look at verse 6. Acts chapter number 12. Look at verse 6. Acts 12, 6. Acts 12, 6. I just want to show you some of the cool things about angels. They excel in strength. They have supernatural strength. They have the ability to fly. Hey, that'd be cool. You know. They have supernatural powers. Look at letter C. Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 6. Acts 12, 6. Acts 12, 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth. Okay, so Peter has been imprisoned. Okay? Peter's in prison. When Herod, Acts 12, 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So Herod's in prison, I'm sorry, Peter's in prison. He's sleeping between two soldiers. They got two soldiers on him. Okay? That is maximum security. Okay? He is bound with chains. Look at verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. He hit Peter and raised him up. He said, "Hey, get up," saying, "Arise up quickly." Now notice this. And his chains fell off from his hands. That's pretty cool. Peter's in prison, lying there. He's chained up. Wakes up. He wakes up. You know, angel hits him. "Get up." He's like, "Well, how can I get up? I'm chained up." And then the chains just fall off his hands. That's pretty cool. Look at verse 8. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first, the second ward, so the angel says, "Get up, put your clothes on, put your coat on, let's go." They start walking. They're just walking out of prison. Some of you are thinking, "Man, I could have used that." And when they're past the first and second ward, look what it says. They came unto an iron gate. So Peter's like, "Well, what are we going to do now? Look, there's an iron gate. We're in a prison, angel." There came an iron gate. Now look what it says. "That leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord." Do you see that? So they're walking up to this iron gate. The gate just opens. They just walk right out. You don't need Star Wars. You don't need Hollywood. Just read the Bible. They can't compare to the stories in the Bible. Amen. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. The angel just sprung him out of prison. That's pretty good. Letter D. Go back to Daniel chapter 10. I think I told you to keep your finger there like 40 minutes ago or something. Daniel chapter 10. Can I just show you one more thing? Now listen, I'm gonna show you this, okay? But I'm gonna give you this disclaimer. If you don't agree with me on this one, that's fine. Okay? You don't have to agree with me. I'm going to show you, and I believe I can prove from the Bible, but if you don't agree or you think, "I don't know about that," that's fine. We can disagree. I'm not all that convinced myself, but let me show it to you in the Bible. You say, "Why aren't you convinced?" Well, it's in the Bible. I want to show it to you because it's in the Bible, but I want to show you this, okay? I believe, and I'm going to do my best to prove it to you here, but I believe that not only are angels supernaturally strong, I believe that they not only have the ability to fly, I believe that they not only have these supernatural powers where they can make chains and inanimate objects do certain things, I believe angels have the ability to change their appearance. You say, "Where is that in the Bible?" Are you there in Daniel chapter number 10? Look at verse 1. Daniel chapter number 10. Look at verse 1. Daniel 10:1. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar." Okay, so Daniel's a prophet, right? And he's been given a prophecy revealed, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So Daniel takes 3 weeks to mourn, to chastise himself, to do almost like a fasting, to get ready to be able to study out this prophecy. Verse 3, he says, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he said for 3 weeks, he didn't anoint himself. He didn't eat any pleasant bread. He didn't do anything. He's just praying. He's just asking God because he saw this vision. And the vision he saw was about the end times. I'm sure he saw things that just really messed up with his head, you know? I mean, he didn't understand it. And he's like praying and fasting, like verse 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man. So he says, I lifted up my eyes, I saw a certain man. Now notice how he describes a man. Clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. Are you following this? He says, I saw a man, his body was like beryl, and his face was the appearance. He said his face shone. It was shining like lightning. And his eyes as lamps of fire. He said his eyes were bright like they were lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. Have you ever seen a person like this? He said he looked like he was made out of brass. His eyes were on fire. His face was shining. The voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So how did Daniel respond? I believe he responded the same way you and I would respond. Verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. I want you to see this. Daniel's the only one that saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. So there was men with him, but they didn't see the man. Daniel only saw the man. You see that? So they were invisible to these other men. Remember when we were looking at Elisha and his servant last week? Remember he got scared because he saw all the armies there and he prayed. The prophet prayed that that God would open the eyes of the servant. And he opened his eyes and he saw all the angels there. Okay, so they're invisible. They look like this person. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, and the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. He said, as soon as I saw this, I just got instantly tired. It drained all the energy out of me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. He said, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon the knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Now you gotta understand this, okay? I know I'm running out of time, but you gotta understand. He sees this guy coming. His eyes are on fire. His face is bright. He's got all these things. And Daniel just falls to the ground, prostrate, his face to the ground. And he's just scared. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I was come for thy word. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Remember we talked about all that? Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. He said, I couldn't even speak. Look at verse 6. And his body, verse number 16. Look at verse 16. And behold, now notice, now he looks up and he looks at him again. Same guy. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men. He said, well, now when I looked at him, he looked like a normal guy. He said, touch my lips, and then I opened my mouth. Skip down to verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. You see that? He said, now first he says, look, this guy did not look like a man. His arms and his legs were like bronze. His eyes were on fire. His face was on fire. But he said, when I looked at him the second time, I looked at him, he looked like a normal guy. What happened? I believe this angel came down, realizes that he almost gave Daniel a heart attack, and he's like, oh man, I better change the way I look. And he looked like a normal person. Okay, I don't have time to give you the verses. I'm out of time. Let me just read these to you. You can study it on your own. 2 Corinthians 11:14. No marvel, for Satan, remember Satan was an angel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Remember, Satan appeared to Eve as a what? Serpent. Okay? I believe they have the ability to change their appearance. We talked about the comparison of angels, the classification of angels, the charge of angels, the characteristics of angels. Let me just read a few things for you in conclusion. Let me just give you this. You say, we learned all this about angels. What do we do with it? Number one, be very careful how you treat strangers. Say, why? Some of you that can't keep your temper under control, you get mad at me. Be very careful. Hebrews 13:1. Let me just read this for you. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Bible says you may have entertained an angel not known it. You may have been rude to an angel not realized it. He said, you better be careful. He said, love, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. He said, be kind to strangers. Hey, you better be nice to that homeless guy. You better treat them with respect. Why? For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And let me just tell you this, okay? You got to get interested in the words of God and the things of God. You know why? Angels wish they could do things that you and I get the privilege to do. Let me just read this for you. 1 Peter 1:12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now notice, just listen to this phrase. Which things the angels desire to look into. God says that God has given you a Bible. God has given you the ability to have the Holy Spirit. God has given you the ability to go out and preach the gospel. The angels are looking down and saying, man, I wish I could do that. Isn't that amazing? You say, I'm not going to go snow winning. I got better things to do. The angels in heaven are like, I wish I could go. I'm not going to read the Bible. The angels, I wish I could read the Bible. I'm not going to pray in the Holy Spirit. Angels said, I wish I had the Holy Spirit. Which things the angels desire to look into. Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. We ought to take, you know, the fact that God lets us win a soul to Christ, we ought to be encouraged by the fact that every time you get somebody saved, in the presence of the angels, there is a party in heaven celebrating them. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. I know we looked at a lot of passages this morning. I know we went longer than we normally like to. But Father, I pray you'd help us to be able to learn from it. Not just to have knowledge, although there's nothing wrong with having knowledge. But also just, Father, to be able to realize that if these angels want to be in ministry, one day we're going to judge angels. Maybe we should be in ministry right now. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to just realize that we need to just study the Bible. There's a lot in the Bible to study. More interesting than Hollywood. More interesting than anything this world can offer. We love you, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen.